Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Chandrika Venkatraman. Join me as I talk to small businesses from across the world to learn about their supply chains, their support systems, and what keeps them moving. In today's episode, I'm talking to Sam Achimpong, Regional Head of SIPS Middle East and North Africa. SIPS stands for the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply and is a global not-for-profit organization serving the procurement and supply management professions. Sam is a recognized thought leader in the global procurement community. In this episode, Sam shares his experiences helping small and medium businesses in other parts of the world. Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Podcast, where we talk to small businesses and to their support networks. We are excited to have you here today as the General Manager of SIPS Middle East. We would love to hear you introduce yourself and SIPS and tell us a little bit about your experiences working with small businesses in the Middle East.
Thanks very much for the introduction. Thanks very much for the invitation as well. It's my absolute pleasure to be here. As you said, my name is Sam Achimpong. I represent the SIPS or CIPS, or our full name being the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply. So what do we do? We're an organization or a global institute that represents the profession of procurement and supply, and therefore any individual or organization that's operating within the sphere of the procurement and supply chain management profession. So we've been around for, actually we celebrated our 90 year anniversary this year. So we've been around for 90 years and we operate across 160 countries around the world. So I manage the Middle East and North Africa part of the operation, and common with what SIPS does around the world is we work with individuals who are procurement and supply chain professionals on thought leadership and education as well, from the senior level all the way down to students. We also work with organizations of all sizes, from large corporates down to SMEs, as you're talking about now. So so that's really what we do, and obviously my focus is on the Middle East and North Africa. So across all of our services, that's what me and my team manage.
So Middle East and North Africa, you guys established SIPS, this chapter in this region.
So SIPS has been around for 90 years. So our head office is in the UK, and we have operations through various partners in 160 countries. But then we also have six regional offices, regional SIPS offices that manage the SIPS operations across various continents. And those offices are there to assist in the management of the operation of our members, our corporate members, our educational partners, primarily, and on a B2B and B2C basis. So we have, as well as our head office in the UK, we also have regional offices in Turkey, North American offices in Chicago. We have an office in Melbourne, Australia, South Africa, Pretoria in Southern Africa, and Ghana in Western Africa. So that's really where the bulk of our regional operation sits. So the operation that I manage, which is the Middle East and North Africa, based in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. So we focus on those 17 countries that are within the defined Middle East and North Africa area.
So would you care to share some of the experiences that you've had helping small businesses? What have been some things that really stood out for you in maybe one or two cases where SIPS has really made an impact?
I think with diverse kind of business groups, whether it's, you know, SMEs, or whether it's looking for indigenous suppliers, or whether it's gender responsive procurement, it's always key to make sure that these businesses have an opportunity to win business. And I think what's happened with COVID-19, which it says within the name, happened in 2019, which is a hell of a long time ago, and still hasn't gone away. But one of the main impacts of COVID-19, of course, was especially small businesses suddenly in a situation where they're unable to provide services. Especially if they're dealing, if they're providing services on a face-to-face basis. You know, you're talking about those small businesses that, you know, see customers face-to-face. They're unable perhaps to work remotely, so those organizations face significant struggles. So from a procurement supply chain perspective, that obviously the biggest struggle they're facing is not being able to generate any revenue. That's the first thing. And the second thing is the overall liquidity. So the main focus of our operations or our assistance during COVID was to work on the client side. So some of the larger corporates or the other organizations who are looking to refine their procurement and supply chain practices, we've been working closely with those to kind of engender more favorable payment terms, for example, to make sure that people are aware that they do have a responsibility to keep liquidity going, because it's in everyone's interests. You know, relaxing payment terms, zero payment terms, payment on delivery, that sort of thing. You know, sharing the thought leadership that makes sure that actually does make sense in a business environment has been part of what we've been doing with a lot of the user groups and the kind of chambers of commerce, spreading that message. But on the SME side specifically, we've been working with a number of SMEs across different countries to basically provide them with that framework, that knowledge to be able to up their game in a more strategic market. You know, how are they able to help their clients navigate the supply chains that are a little bit less resilient these days? What can they add that's more innovative to give their clients surety of supply in an environment where surety of supply becomes the number one priority over and above cost? So that's where SMEs we've identified can differentiate themselves, and really that's what we've seen examples of where SMEs are able to change their game, up their game, and prove that they're worthy of being offered contracts. So that's really the on the SME side and on the client side, as well as other areas such as, you know, just making sure that on the client side they maintain a more strategic relationship, especially with their SME clients, rather than having short-term targets and short-term goals, because what COVID has proved and subsequent issues, because COVID was such a long time ago, we forget about, you know, the Ukraine war, we forget about the Suez crisis. So there have been several things that have happened since then. But what COVID did show is that it's all about resilience, and it's too late once you're in a crisis to build a strategic relationship with your suppliers. So on both sides of the fence, we've really been promoting that kind of strategic supplier relationship as being up there as probably one of the most important issues, over and above, you know, a standalone contractual relationship or not having no relationship at all of any meaningful nature with your suppliers.
Oh, wow. That's quite an agenda. You know, one of the things that small businesses often talk to me about is how do they develop strategic relationships, both with their own vendor network, as well as with their clients, right? Because, you know, one of the things that small businesses often find themselves is in a position of lower power, right? They're saying, well, in this relationship, do I really have much power? Do you guys have any tips or suggestions, like anything that you usually coach your small business clients with, you know, in terms of how do they go about establishing a strategic relationship when many people who interact with them, when many businesses who interact with them are really looking transactionally at them?
I think it's a very good point. And the one thing we focus on really is that kind of that matrix, that supplier positioning matrix. So, you know, put your strength, put your headspace in developing a strategic relationship with a client where the strategic intent is mirrored on both sides. So there's no point in trying to develop a strategic relationship with a client who for whatever reason, probably very valid reason, does not see you as a strategic supplier for reasons other than, you know, who you are. It could be that you know, what you're supplying is not a strategic commodity to them. So if you're supplying, you know, electric batteries to Tesla, then you're a strategic supplier to them. So that will be seen both ways. So it'd be easier to convince them to have a more strategic relationship with you in that case. But if you're supplying pens and pencils to Tesla, then there's no point trying to, you know, really go out for a strategic relationship. You're probably better off fighting the transactional war and working on your pricing to make you more attractive. So the first thing is making sure you position yourself. But we typically try to work on both sides of the fence, because it is important that on the client side that they do the same supplier positioning, and they do take the opportunity to build strategic relationships with suppliers, because it's found that does make commercial sense at the end of the day than having more of a transactional relationship.
What has been your experience rolling out procurement centers of excellence, if you will, right? Because again, you are probably in a geographic area where procurement practices are still evolving. What have been some of your big aha moments or some of your big accomplishments too in, you know, rolling out procurement thinking and thought leadership in these regions?
Yeah, I mean, there is an evolution of procurement thought and best practice going on in certain parts of the world, including the Middle East and North Africa. So, for us, in some ways, it's a kind of greenfield environment. You know, we can be really innovative in helping people from almost, you know, from start to finish, from A to Z or from A to Z, depending on where you're from in the world, to really develop best practice without having a framework there beforehand. We've worked with many organizations, many of the, you know, some of the biggest organizations in the region who have been working successfully for many years, but maybe don't have a procurement department, don't have a supply chain function. And I see that as being an opportunity, because, you know, there isn't really a legacy to deal with, and we've really been able to go in there, build up capability, help them build up systems. If you take the World Expo was actually held in Dubai last year, actually in 2020, in 2021, the World Expo, Dubai Expo 2020, as it was delayed for a year, but that's an example of a greenfield project. So the Dubai Expo project was set up from scratch for the World Expo to run for 6 months in Dubai, and for 190 countries to have their pavilions here. So that's something that was that's a greenfield project as far as procurement supply chain, and we were working with Expo dating back 7 years with them, and one of their priorities was to set up their procurement and supply chain capability from scratch to enable them to not only deliver an excellent Expo, but also to be involved with the procurement for the other stakeholders, all kind of 189 of them who were going to come to Dubai and build their pavilions. But when you start with a blank sheet of paper, what you're able to do is look at what are the leading practices and the priorities now. And one of them, obviously, is to, with a project of this significance, is to try and allocate a significant part of your spend proactively for SMEs. So, of course, that's what was one of Expo's priorities, to make sure that they are proactively engaging and allowing SMEs to participate in such a massive project. And obviously for that, you have to make sure you have certain policies and procedures that are either weighted or positively discriminated towards SMEs, or at least not discriminating against SMEs. Because you can't have an aspiration to involve small businesses if you don't acknowledge some of the difficulties that small businesses have in engaging on large projects. So that kind of gives an example of some of the ways that we've been involved in trying to influence these kind of decision makers, because it doesn't matter on which side of the fence you're working, the result really is to bring those two parties together.
One of the situations that I often find myself in is some of the agenda of procurement frameworks and putting in place some structures, it's somewhat long-term, right? So you're not necessarily going to see the benefit from tomorrow, but you will see the benefit maybe 6 months from now, putting in place all those systems and processes and everything. a lot of small businesses because they are in the business of delivering results today. So how do you navigate that push and pull, right? You could have a small business client that's saying, I want to see results from tomorrow. And you're saying, well, I have these frameworks and I have, these solutions that will deliver you results maybe 6 months into the future. How do you typically navigate those conversations?
I think it's an interesting one. I think no business can afford to look short term in any case, and a lot of small businesses fail quite early on from being set up because they don't get a chance to develop either a robust client base or robust ecosystem or whatever else. So yeah, I mean, it's down to us to point out that you do need to have foundations, you do need to have a structure that is going to be attractive to corporate clients, because corporate clients want to make sure that they're de-risking whatever contractual relationship they go into. And even if they know you're an SME, they'll want to know that you've at least thought of that, thought of some of those solutions and some of those outcomes. So really, it doesn't matter the size of business, you do need to have a certain credibility which you can put in front of your prospective client. And the stronger your foundation, the stronger your credibility, the longer term engagement those clients are willing to get into. So I think in summary, it's all about articulating the fact that organizations will work with you on a transactional basis, depending on how you yourself have set up. If you set yourself up as almost being a short-term thinking organization, then you'll find that it's possible that clients you deal with will probably see you in the same way.
Do you have any words of advice, any coaching tips for any other small businesses that are listening in?
I think it's interesting. Look, so small businesses, if I speak about kind of my region, there's less of a proliferation of small businesses in this region than maybe in other areas of the world. So there are a lot of proactive programs that are in place to encourage more small businesses to emerge. So it's a slightly different landscape from here. And all I'll say is small businesses should look out for those incentives that are being, and those programs that are being put together by governments, whether it's, in this region, you have the Saudi Vision 2030, big SME accelerator, or if you look towards Qatar with Qatar Development Bank, you have a big SME accelerator, or in Dubai, you have the Sheikh Mohammed Foundation, which is for SMEs as well. So there are a lot of government accelerators or organizations that are there to help SMEs. So the thing is to take advantage of those chambers, those initiatives, and take that plunge if that's what you want to do. Take advantage of the guidance that's there, because conversely, it's actually a very good time to become an SME, because there's an awful lot of support that's being provided in this region for people to do so. Now, there's obviously a higher proportion of SMEs in other countries, especially in the West, and even the GDP contribution compared to any other type of business is probably outweighs any other form of business. So there's a different dynamic. So I think in the long run, it shows that there is an appetite in a developed economy for robust SMEs. You just need to look at it long term. And if you do look at it long term and build a foundation, then the clients you deal with will deal with you in a more strategic way.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get more information on today's episode in the show notes or at source-refresh.com/podcast. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.